Is anyone here for the first time to listen to the teachings of Philip Moffitt? Oh, great. Well, we're delighted to welcome you back. Philip has been practicing, he's been a spiritual seeker his whole life. He's been practicing close to 50 years, the first dozen in mostly a yoga tradition, and then 20 years, or a little more than 20 years ago, in the Theravadan tradition. He's one of the teachers at Spirit Rock. He also has a sangha in Marin County, California, and travels all around the country offering the Dharma to people like us. Philip has two wonderful books that when you go on his website, you can also get weekly teachings that go along with those books. So they're really a wonderful way to access that. I think you've been coming to Sims about a dozen years now.
I think so.
And so we're really pleased to have Philip here, and I wish you all a very lovely evening.
Thank you. And I too extend my greetings, and just to say, Philip, I'm looking over at Tuari, who is the co-guiding teacher here at Sims, and Tuari has started teaching with me on various retreats, and we've been having a really wonderful time together, and you have two very wonderful co-guiding teachers, in Tim and Tuari. And one of the things that Tuari's been teaching with me is the teachings of the nine bodies, which is a third book, which you can't sign up for teachings from, but if it's for it's a book that's about the various levels of beingness or various levels of consciousness that we gain access to during our meditation. And so if that's the kind of thing that interests you, if you have lots of experiences when you meditate, then you can check it out. Dance with Life is about the Four Noble Truths, which we're going to be doing this weekend, and I'm not using that book as our guide through it, although I'll reference it. And Emotional Chaos to Clarity is about our daily life, taking our practice into daily life. And but the Nine Bodies teachings is about awakening, and it's a little more challenging. It's more like you have to really be interested to like get into it. So I don't recommend it for everybody, but if it's your cup of tea, it is really your cup of tea. So you'll just have to see for yourself about that. So we're going to be sitting for a while first. We'll sit for about 40 minutes, and then we'll have a break, which someone here will have to remind me of how long the break is. And then we will come back for a Dharma talk and some Q&A. And that's the course of our evening. And with the sitting practice, I do quite often now a kind of arriving in the room. This may not be something you've heard before, but it is very useful for you, not just for arriving in this room, but arriving in all the rooms, all the different manifestations of your life, that you learn to arrive in that set of circumstances. So I recommend that, although you may be quite experienced and you don't really need it for arriving in your meditation practice, I recommend that you try it just for this evening, for situations when it's with your difficult sibling or that situation at work where you just want to be anywhere but in that room, or in the dentist chair, or wherever it may be that you don't want to be, that you learn how to actually arrive in that room, and it's a kind of orientation to that. And no harm if it turns out it's not something that's suiting you at all, just at any point. Drop in. It doesn't take all that long, but still it's different than what you may have heard. And it was inspired I was sitting with the Venerable Nalio for a retreat, and turned out the whole retreat was sort of a kind of arriving experience. And so, like, for at least the first 40 minutes of it, And I was going, this is impossible to do. This is impossible to do. Because there was so much detail of it that you had to kind of remember to do. But it actually turned out to be quite a wonderful experience. And so inspired by that, and particularly by a couple of things that he utilized in it, I've started doing this. We begin our practice by arriving in the here and now, arriving where? Here in this room, arriving when? Now, here, this space, now, this moment. So there's a clear aspiration, a clear goal of being present in a particular way, that is the Dhamma way, and having a kind of continuity of presence through mindfulness. So we're oriented as we begin our practice, feeling the room, your experience of the room now, whatever you notice about the room, the space, the temperature, the presence of other people. This space feels like this. In this moment, and then noticing your own mind in regards to this moment in this space, bringing mindfulness front and center. You're mindful. You are a being mindful. You have an aspiration of understanding in some way, some aspiration that has brought you here, a kind of goal. This reflects the wise view of the Dhamma, the Eightfold Path. And you have an intention that is moment to moment of how you wish to meet the moment. So this meeting the moment works for this situation, for work situations, for home situations, when you're with others, when you're out on the street driving, whatever it may be, and it works when we're by ourselves. Intentions do not vary. Our skillful means and our goals vary depending on the situation. But not the intention, not our based on our values. They're steadfast. We may emphasize one more than another as appropriate, but they don't move around, so our values don't change. This intentional life is as it is. We grow in our understanding of it. We have to remind ourselves of different things in different situations in our lives. But it is our continuity. It is the through line of the ever-changing experience of anicca. Bringing attention to the body here. Now, in this moment, the body feels like this. Not judging the body, not comparing the body, not fixing the body, but rather being present for the unfolding experience, noticing the felt sense of sensations. You may feel the feet of the pelvis, the hands, the chest, individual body sensations, and internal body sensations. Or you may register the body as a whole field of changing sensations. Being present in the body. You can invite a relaxation to move through the body from the head down, or from the feet up. This wave of relaxation may be what allows you to really be present, to really know you're in the body with your mindfulness. The Buddha gave us more instructions for knowing the body than any other aspect of our experience. Coming to hear this body now. Embodied awareness. You may feel the weight of the body or the weight of parts of the body, like the arms or the legs. You may feel the warmth of the body or the coolness of the body in parts or whole. You may feel the connectedness of the body, this flowing awareness, this connectedness. And you may feel the movement in the body through the wind element, which we call breath. So turning our attention to breath, the breath just now, this inhale, this exhale. The pause in between the exhale and the inhale. And for some, the pause between the end of the inhale and the beginning of the exhale. Being present for the experience of body and breath, with this intention of kindness to the body, thus the non-judging, compassion for the body, gratitude for the body. And so necessary, equanimity in relation to the body, being equanimous. We're not always calm about the body, but we can stay balanced. We can have this equanimity that allows us to stay with what is. At some point, we are present for our experience of this moment, and we know we're present because there's some degree of feeling what's present in the body. And there's some degree of a recognition that we know we're feeling the body. And there's some degree of knowing that we know that we're feeling the body. True, isn't it? Body and breath create the ground from which we will go on in our meditation. Sometimes when the breath becomes predominant, the feeling of body in other ways diminishes or it may even go away. And just breath is our anchor. But for now, being present in this moment through knowing body and breath in a raw manner, unadorned, not filtered, not held at a distance. A feeling of immediacy of this breath, just this one breath. A feeling that it's really true, I can feel my feet, the bottoms of my feet, just now, unadorned, unfiltered, no story. Here, now, is being known. We are awake to the moment. This feeling of being awake to the moment can start to spread to our whole experience a little bit at the time. So we become awake about our feeling of pleasant and unpleasant around the temperature or around comfort versus discomfort. the truth of there being a pleasant or unpleasantness becomes more important, or at least as important, as to what the actual experience is. We're in the rawness of experience, not our preferences. So much liberation in this. So much equanimity can come. Just staying with breath and body, or exploring more, as I'm suggesting. Your choice. But this knowing, this raw, unfiltered knowing, that your knowing experience. That there's an embodied knowing here now, not made up, not theoretical, nobody's theory, but your own immediate experience. If we're not accustomed to being in the moment this way, we can start to feel overwhelmed, or our mind starts to want to jump around, or we start to like abandon. The invitation is to stay before you leave. This is raw experience being known. It's often referred to as bare attention. When you discover that you're starting to comment on your experience, or judge it, or compare it, can you return just to the bare experience, this raw experience? is occurring in this very body, not some new improved version of the body, not some new improved version of your knowing, but this knowing is here now, right along with the object of the breath, or your thoughts, or your complaints, or your daydreaming, or your planning. It can be there with the restless mind, or the spacey mind, or the sleepy mind. With the open heart, with the closed heart. Always reference grounded in this body breath. You're willing to meet the unfolding of your experience, unadorned, unfiltered, here, now, immediate. Now consciously turn this knowing of what is arising in the moment and this knowing that you know to relate to the experiences themselves. So if you're just with the breath, then bring breath to the forefront and have the knowing in the background, but that steadiness. steady, 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 where the knowing is doing nothing but resting on breath. At times the knowing may come to the foreground and the breath to the background, or both seem to be in the foreground. That's all fine. Your mind may be moving around more this evening, from one thought to one plan to one body sensation or whatever the pattern. But the knowing is steady, and you let those objects of experience, those moments of experience, if you want to be in the foreground, and your steadiness of mind is in the background. The attention is continuous. At this point, you may want to notice your experience from the Dhamma point of view, where you register if the mind's got hindrances of one kind or another, the mind's troubled, wanting, aversion, whatever it may be. And this knowing just recognizes. It's interested, but it's not overly involved. The steadiness of mind, giving you this recognition capacity. And sometimes, even to your surprise, you recognize there's a little choice. I can go down this path or not go down this path. I can keep planning or not. I can keep telling this story over and over to myself right this moment or not. And now you're seeing your relationship to the unfolding moments of experience from a Dharma point of view. This is insight. Insight practice. Still based on this knowing capacity, which we've so established as our ground. Not just the knowing, but the knowing that we know. So stabilizing, so beautiful. This is the Buddha knowing the Dhamma. sometimes the mind gets so still that any kind of thinking about or naming just drops away, and you're just with the experience. So still. You're barely registering the experience. The stillness of the knowing is so strong.
mind can get quieter and quieter, this knowing being more and more predominant. Or the mind can get fatigued, or difficult things, uncertain things, decisions we're trying to make can start to flood in. And then so the mind's considering this and weighing that and remembering this, and on it goes with one experience after another. Or there's this ache in the body and you go, oh, is this starting again in me? Am I going to have, you know, a bad knee again for a while, or whatever? You start to interpret our experience, project. And it happens a little or a lot. It happens slow or fast. We come back to the breath, body, and centering, or the center doesn't hold at all. And yet, this knowing quality that we've learned to isolate, to identify through our mindfulness practice, through our meditation, it can stay present with this mind that's just going everywhere, commenting, judging, fussing. We can just be like the patient parent, this attending with compassion, alertness, seeing that right now we're caught in a storm, but we're still in the here and the now. A storm is like this. We're where? Here in a storm. When? Now. Our intentions, our aspiration, our mindfulness meet this storm, this series of storms, this avalanche, this whirlwind. Whirlwind and avalanches and storms are like this. Sometimes we have choice as to what we can do with the attention, and sometimes we don't. But this ground of knowing continues apace. tonight in the talk that follows the break, we are going to explore the choices we have when we have this knowing. And we'll start to see that we often don't really manifest the potential we have in that moment. We fall into a gap. We fall into this space, this chasm between what we actually know and what we somehow have access to. It's so amazing that we do this over and over again, and we'll look at that as to why and what choice we have, and see if that gives a kind of empowerment, not just to practice time, but certainly practice time, but also to all of the moments of our life and all the facets of our lives. So 12, 15 minute break? What? 10 minute break. Okay, so come back in here just a few minutes after 8 o'clock, please.